Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you here with us on this Thursday night. And for some of you, for me, and for our guest tonight, it is already Friday morning. On the West Coast, of course, you are still experiencing the 10th of April, and you'll catch up sooner or later. As I always say, we got to do that because we're dealing with time differences here. That's what happens. And don't mean to ignore all the people in other parts of the world that are in other time zones. We would spend the whole show going through the time zones if I would do that. We're glad to have all of you listeners with us as well. Quite a bit of insanity going on in the world these days. I'm hearing it from healers. I'm hearing it from metaphysicians, from teachers. Light bearers, they're dealing with people on a daily basis, their patients in their business, as well as people they run into in the community, in government, in politics, in the media, and even teachers are experiencing many anomalies in the schools. Nevertheless, the shadow government, the CIA, whoever is behind the chemtrail issue, are busy decorating our skies. And I wonder when they're going to start actually accepting advertising money and scripting chemtrails in marriage proposals and things like that. The old signs that say, eat at Joe's. Chemtrails is an issue. We're again experiencing unusual weather because of the spraying. We end up with blue skies, and then we end up with X's and crisscrosses and all the fancy designs that they like to make at different altitudes. With that is a rash of diseases that are striking people across the country. Texas has been very hard hit over the past year and a half. And many people have come down with full-blown Morgellons, which is erroneously being diagnosed by allopathic medical practitioners, doctors, as Lyme disease. Not many people get bitten by ticks when they live in the city, in the concrete jungles, and yet they're diagnosing the infections of Morgellons, which permeate, I've heard recently, all the way down to the bone marrow of an infected individual. The fibers that are growing inside the bodies of the people that come down with this deadly disease block openings to the heart, the veins, the arteries, the capillaries, and other internal organs as well. So someone suffering from Morgellons, which is just one of the many diseases people are getting from as a result of chemtrail spraying, is phenomenal. Now, there are many people I know coming down with sinus infections, other respiratory problems, and these may also be these designer viruses that they're lacing these chemtrails with. They will deny it. It is a matter of national insecurity, I would say that. And tonight's guest is going to join in a very serious conversation about not just chemtrails, but some of the health problems that are cropping up in general. He is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints, and he is very versed in a variety of areas. Number one, he is a health practitioner of sorts in that he is a health scientist, and he encourages people to get into a more strict regimen of health in terms of what they eat, avoiding certain types of foods, and addressing illness from a perspective of homeopathic practices. And amongst being an environmental scientist, he has a background in chemistry with one of the major Fortune 500 companies. And so he knows what's going on that level as well. And he is also an herbalist. And with that, I welcome my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, how are you this evening?
Hello, Don. I'm doing well. Thanks for inviting me back.
Pleasure to have you back. You know that.
It's fun, Don.
You heard my introduction, I hope.
Sure.
And I'm just skimming over some of the issues that people have with their health nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of people asking me, you know, have I heard about Morgellons? Do I know what's causing the sinus infections that people have? And you're the perfect person to bring on the show to discuss this. This is not going away. More people are getting sick.
And so, yes, absolutely.
We want to provide some solutions. We're not trying to fearmonger here. People are already scared.
That's right. Well, fortunately, Don, there are always solutions. Where there is a will, there is a way. And the Lord is good. So people really have nothing to fear. But nonetheless, it's a serious problem, Don, that you highlighted. There's no questioning that. I have been dealing with many, many cases of upper respiratory ailments for many months consecutively now. So as we've discussed in the past, you know, it's got to be more than likely coming around with the chemtrails because it's so prolific now. But with my personal techniques, with working people with people that are infected or have such upper respiratory problems, I'm just getting great results all the time. So there's nothing to fear. It's really a piece of cake when you apply the right science. And regardless of how scary even this particular type of disease seems to be from all the reports and diagnosis, and it is scary because I'm intimate with this one as well from dealing with a couple cases. But nonetheless, it's still easy to really clean up and eradicate.
Yes. Now, the CDC and the FDA and the AMA and all of the triple letter agencies that or the alphabet agencies that have anything to do with these diseases are adamant about not sharing or even acknowledging that some of these diseases exist. There have been some recent, I know the state of Texas not too long ago had a conference where some doctors came forward and talked about this, and many, many patients came forward. And I alluded to the fact that these are very, very serious symptoms that people are coming up with. We have talked about what might be the cause. And we have also in the past discussed what are the symptoms and what would be a cure, what would be a turn for the better for someone suffering. Some of these people have been suffering for 10 years.
Yeah,
from
that's
this,
true.
And they're experiencing every health anomaly that you can imagine. Not to mm-hmm. mention to have these fibers growing inside, which are alluded to be created from nanotechnology, these super small particles that are alive and growing. And these fibers move from one place to another as if they have a consciousness of their own.
Don, when it comes to the particular theories as to the nature of this disease, there may be some variations to this, Morgellons. Out of the two cases that I've handled so far, one in Michigan with Ann and gentleman John down in Missouri, they had the same kind of they both had the same exact situation with the symptoms, and it was clear that the fiber is due to a larvae. Like Ann in Michigan, definitely had an infection, which was really an infestation of a very teeny fly. And it has a long life cycle with a larvae Now, what's weird, she's a nurse with a technical background, very intelligent lady, has a microscope with a camera on it at home. And, in fact, Don, I asked her to follow up with you. And when she gets a chance, because I'd like to see if we can get all of her work documented on your website with the photos and everything, mm-hmm. so we can help expose this problem and start to understand it the best we can with the data that's at our disposal currently. Mm-hmm. And so through Ann, it was definitely an infection with a very microscopic type fly, which was breeding and producing larvae, and the fibers in this case were the silk from the larvae itself, cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, this seems to be the origin of it all. There could be variations and stuff, and there could be some nanotechnology with, for example, depositing these little microorganisms from a chemtrail. Maybe they're sealing them in a nanotechnology-type fiber that will be a perfect carrier for them and when they're depositing them in the atmosphere. And so, you know, we're still trying to figure all that out, but one thing is for sure, that it seems to be that regardless of what kind of phase or variation, because it does even go from a little teeny fly to a little teeny moth, it's really strange how it attracts another little teeny moth and it follows up where the fly left off. It's very strange. However, so far, it looks like it's still easy to eradicate with my herbal formula that I call Infection Killer, and which wipes out any kind of infection, regardless if it's viral or bacterial or fungal or parasitic. And in this case, Morgellons, from my two cases so far, were clearly parasitic and really brings about great results with the Infection Killer, and everybody was happy.
Yeah, my initial take, and I'm sure you will remember this, and I'm glad you mentioned, actually that's the first time I heard you mention moth. I remember you mentioning the silk, and right. What comes to mind is moths are one species that spins silk. Spiders do that too. But there are other organisms that do. I know I've seen different types of larvae, and I'm sure probably to an extent there are flies that do that. So this may be a crossbreeding of flies that can handle being in the air, and then when it settles someplace, maybe it transforms into a moth, or maybe initially it is a moth and it's going, or you know, a strange moth, a new breed, a crossbreed.
Yes, it's
I was just going to add to that the medium or the substrate that these may be living in is the polymers that they find. And that may be why it's taking on this characteristic of a fiber beyond just the silk. The different colors, for example.
Yes. Now, that's definitely done a very probable theory to this particular part of this process of the infestation of this organism. But one thing's for sure, that the fibers coming out of the skin in Ann's case were organic.
Huh.
They definitely seem to be organic. But there may be something to, if I recall right from talking with her, and there may be something to, though, some kind of synthetic that's being used as some kind of carrier. For example, Ann was even stating that she believes that maybe that's what they're doing, is using a synthetic microfilament, which is laced with all the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And the eggs are getting ingested. The filament comes down, carries it all down, distributes it all, and then people come in contact, and they ingest it. And then once the life cycle engages, then the infection takes hold. And then the people start to notice their health deteriorate gradually over time. And so, you know, that's the best I understand it so far. And no question about it, though, the Infection Killer comes through with flying colors and just wipes it right out.
Mm-hmm.
It's thank God for that.
Yes. Now, you may, and I'm going to be repeating myself here for you and maybe some of the listeners, but for the new listeners out there, I have brought my intuition to bear in ascertaining or discerning what created this disease from the beginning. And when I had first heard about the massive infestations and infections that were occurring, and I used Texas as an example because it has been rampant and covered up by and large by the mainstream media. I was getting reports as far back as 2 years ago from people in Texas, people I know living there and people that I would speak to while I was a guest on a radio show, some which you even heard, where people were describing the waiting lines, which used to be somewhere around 14 hours to get into the emergency room. It's anywhere from 20 to 22 hours now that people are just sitting waiting their turn to be attended. And wow. They usually don't go to the hospital until they're very ill. You know, people wait.
Sure.
They wait until they just know something is really seriously wrong, and then they finally decide to go, or a doctor sends them. And by then, it's really progressed to a very advanced stage. And it still can become much more advanced than when they initially go to the emergency room.
Right.
On Dr. Bill Deagle's show, I proposed 2 years ago that the chemtrail spraying was actually the cause of Morgellons, and what they were, of course, not just the spraying itself, but what they're putting in the aerosols.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I mentioned that, he was a bit uncertain about it, but I talked to him a couple of months later and reiterated my comment, and he absolutely agreed with me. He had come upon evidence through his connections. And, of course, you know, he used to work for the United States military, and he eventually left, you know, because of death threats and things like that that come to whistleblowers. He went to another country. He's actually living in Nova Scotia. And he's still broadcasting on the air, and the man is a walking encyclopedia of every drug and every aspect of every type of medicine that would apply to something like this. He's very, very intelligent, very well versed, very well read, and very experienced in this area. And he now agrees. And so we not only have people with the credentials agreeing with us, we have many patients coming forward and acknowledging that they quite possibly have something far, far worse than Lyme disease.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago we had John Clark on, and he's been suffering from Lyme disease for 5 years now.
Yes.
And that's nowhere, I'm not saying Lyme disease isn't a serious illness, it's nowhere near the symptoms of Morgellons.
Well, hold on, Don. I got to back up on that one a little bit, because I've dealt with a lot of Lyme cases, and once in a while there are those that really have such a serious case, and they claim, the doctor tells them, that they have a unique version of the Lyme, and they're really on death's door. And
I'm not saying that it's not a serious disease. I'm just saying some of the symptoms. I don't think they're getting these fibers growing in them, are
no,
they?
No fibers. Yeah. As far as seriousness of the infection, yeah, very. It could be lethal.
Yes.
It could be lethal, but otherwise, it's generally, most of the time with Lyme, people just have aches and pains, fuzziness with their mind. Of course, always low energy and weak.
My goodness, politicians have Lyme disease then.
Yeah, they got more than that.
Well, the fuzziness of the mind. That's a dead giveaway.
But, you know, get with the chemtrails, though, Don, you know, so you've got the Morgellons issue as a, a particular type of disease that seems to be originating from the chemtrails, and you also have these other cases of upper respiratory disease, which is blanketing the whole country, probably the whole world, and people are getting these wicked coughs, and which seem to be like pneumonia-like, and so I've been treating that nonstop for quite a few months as well. And that's all around the country, of course, not just here locally, but I have clients all around the country calling me and for my products, and I've been dealing with that one all around the country. So it's everywhere, for sure, at the same time. Now, how can that be, except really, you have some kind of blanketing deposition activity where they're depositing it in a large surface area all at once, and it's got to be the chemtrails. But even in this case, because we know from chemtrails, independent studies in the past over, going back 7-8 years ago, maybe 10 already,
mm-hmm.
barium salts were one of the substances detected and had been attributing, if ingested, to upper respiratory disease, lung problems in particular, and sure enough, if we're not seeing that everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say, thank God again, in those instances, 99.99% of the time, my lung formula comes through instantaneously. I just had one elderly lady out in Indiana who, it cleared it up for a while, but then it came back and she kept hacking and hacking and couldn't seem to break it up. So I was diagnosing it further, trying to figure out what's triggering it. Maybe an infection, so I'm looking forward to speaking to her soon because I recommended taking some more infection killer again first. Let's see if some infection got in and it's causing all that. But otherwise, the lung formula for the upper respiratory, hacking, coughing, that lung formula just clears it right up. Usually within 24 hours, the cough is virtually gone.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people, Michael, are getting these sinus infections. I know a lot of people that have them. There are many talk show hosts, actually, that have been going through this. And these are not short-lived ailments. Some of them, and you know who I'm talking about, some of them have been off the air for over a month, which is quite a long time, I think.
That's a long time.
To have any kind of infection, not to mention the suffering that some people are going through for years.
Well, Don, I'm sorry to jump in, Don, but yes, this is another one, again, that's all over the place, the sinus infections, absolutely, and that's, again, upper respiratory as well, but nonetheless, clearly an infection in the sinuses, and it's very common, very prolific as well, Don, and fortunately, again, with all my cases, the infection killer clears it right up. Clears it right up. It's just a shame more people don't know it exists, because if they did and they seen what it does, they would realize, like everybody else that has discovered it, they have to have a bottle, at least one bottle, in the house at all times, just so you know it's there when you need it.
Yes. Now, unlike antibiotics, which have not only a shelf life, they have a usage life, really. Some of the stories I'm hearing, too, and I don't mean to sound like I'm going off on a tangent. I've talked to people, and again, you know, John, who was on our show, said he's been taking antibiotics for 5 years. You develop a resistance. Now, what doctor out there is actually going to do that? Even I'm not a doctor, and I know that to take an antibiotic usually, you know, for more than 2 weeks is probably out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're given the right antibiotic, it should do its job. Now, if these are diseases resistant to antibiotics, then their answer is, well, there's no cure for this. And that's not what we're saying, and we're not necessarily even talking about a cure. We're talking about bringing the body to its own natural way of healing. Because the body is capable of doing that.
Absolutely.
We're not talking really about cures here.
No, not in their terms, not at all.
Yes, in fact, their stuff doesn't cure anything.
Yeah. They fail miserably. It's amazing they're still in business, because anybody else that couldn't do their job would be long out of business. So it is interesting. It must be some kind of racket, I guess. But
the mind control of the commercials helps them, you know, to get that out there.
Over the years, Don, when I would get somebody say, geez, you know, how is it you can cure that or make that go away, and yet these guys can't? It doesn't sound right. And I said, I always answer with, just because some people have a problem with something doesn't mean that other people will have a problem with it. So just because they can't figure it out doesn't mean that I can't figure it out.
Exactly.
You know? And so that's what's so outrageous about all. Why is it that people expect them to be gods that are going to have the magic pill for everything and clearly fail at it, when they're holding them up to that expectation because they actually portray themselves as coming off that they're going to deliver with it, and yet they fail miserably at it, and yet they figure nobody else can ever fathom anything like this? But it's all basic science, and yes, I'm a scientist, and I'm a very good, well-trained scientist, and I've been able to figure out, observe details of these various ailments that I guess they haven't been able to perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as I understand the signs to the body, which they definitely do not acknowledge. And just like you said, Don, the body will restore itself if it can. And so I teach my clients when I'm trying, especially when someone may be on death's door, like with cancer, been through all kinds of chemo treatments and radiation, blood transfusions, they're sleeping mostly all day long, and so they're pretty much done. When I have somebody like that, especially, and I'm emphasizing to them, listen, just do what I tell you, please, because I'm going to show you how to cooperate with your body instead of interfering with it constantly, which is what we're taught to do. And by cooperating with it, by following my diet recommendations, then my products are going to be able to work much faster, and they have to work fast, especially in your case, because we don't have any time to lose. And thank God when the people do listen, like just locally here, I have a senior lady that fits the description I just mentioned with that whole condition and all the treatments, and virtually when they came to me, she was done. And now, just 2 months later, you would think she was brand new. And she's not even close to where she has to be yet. That's just how bad she was when she came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, unfortunately, doctors do not acknowledge that the body has its own intelligence. And I clearly point that out every time with one clear example of when you get a cut on your arm and that cut gradually starts to heal. Are you directing that healing process? I know I don't. Well, I do, actually, and everybody else does that knows how to use their mind constructively to direct energies for the body. But aside from that, I just let the body do its thing. I'm not telling the body, hurry up, get blood going to that wound, close it up quick, make sure that the hemoglobin is sufficient so that it will start to gradually clot and stop the bleeding. And no, the body does all that on its own. And then gradually the wound heals and the flesh mends, all by the body doing it, clearly because the body has its own intelligence. So the best way to be able to get well and be healthy, especially if you want to be really 100% healthy, which is how I am 24/7, I never get sick. I never need my infection killer. I don't get anything like that. And so in order to be that way, you just simply have to understand how to constantly cooperate with your body, never interfere with it, and you'll always be happy. Always be happy. And so that's pretty much how it all works. You go to Mother Nature, especially in the plant kingdom, which I think excels more than the animal kingdom for getting natural remedies that you can see great results with in a short span of time. And so I know, like, some people will use animal products, thinking glands or organs, even from fish or whatever, sharks. but there's nothing that will equal the plant kingdom, because the plant kingdom is light energy condensed, coalesced. It's a biomass of light energy direct. And so once you understand what that is and how plants vary with different combinations of these light energies, then you'll be able to really harness a power that the body will utilize so rapidly that you can get results that will baffle the modern mind, because we're led to believe such results are impossible, but they're really not. And so with tough cases like these Morgellons and all these others, thank God, for me, it's pretty easy to resolve them all.
Now, in addition to what you're saying too, and you know, I've got a thousand thoughts racing through my mind about all the natural herbs that the good Lord put on this planet for us to use, and they use the addictive ones, the toxic ones, to create these Trojan horse conditions that spring up sometimes months or years later in an unsuspecting user of some of these pharmaceutical drugs that they're creating. And in addition to those natural drugs, there's the mindset that you mentioned, and that's about being happy. When a person is happy, they're usually less likely to be sick.
Absolutely.
And if a person could learn to be happy while they're sick, they could heal themselves faster.
You bet.
There's a mind aspect to it in terms of attitude, but it really comes from the spirit and tapping into that higher self.
Absolutely.
I know I'm preaching to the choir on that, but that works. That if you are healed from an ailment that you have, you are going to be happy. Now, if you learn to stay in that happy state, your body is naturally going to boost its own immune system in that way, so
That's
that
right.
you are not going to be as susceptible. I don't know anybody who's sick who's happy about being sick.
You got it.
You know.
Exactly
now,
right.
Now, in addition to that, Michael, and I know you do this, you haven't really had to do this with me, because you know my attitude about foods and my attitudes about the additives in foods and the poisons. Oh, aspartame, it just blows my mind. I was in a restaurant recently, and you know how they put these little sugar packets there, and then there were like three kinds of aspartame and white sugar. I mean, it's all bad for you.
Yes.
The particular container that was sitting on the table I was sitting at just had sugar in it. And the waiter came up to me and asked me if I wanted, and he started naming these brands. And I said, "You mean the rat poison?" And he looked at me, you know, he asked me if I wanted, you know, the, and he's, well, we can name the brands. Why not? I don't make them. You know, people use them. There was NutraSweet and Sweet and Low, and there was one other one. You know, there's the pink and the blue and the yellow packages. And then, of course, the sugar is in the white one. And I guess they give you three colors to choose in the rat poison. I found that interesting. and I said rat poison, and he looked at me like I was nuts.
Yeah, the poor guy didn't have a clue.
And he said, "What did you call that?" And I said, "Rat poison." I said, "Oh, I'm using just street language for it. It's aspartame. It affects your nervous system, and it causes
it
illness.
It destroys it,
and even death."
That's right.
And
it destroys the nerves.
Yeah, and I said, you know, I know you don't know this, and probably the restaurant owner doesn't know this, but you know, this is poison you've got sitting here on this table. And he said, "I'm going to check that out." So the next time I see him, I'm going to ask him if he checked it out. But
yeah, that's right. That's right. You had somebody thinking at least, Don, and that's the way to be, because unfortunately, these people don't even have a clue yet about what they're serving, and it's scary. And Don, yes, you're very health conscious. You have a great awareness about all these things, and that's what is required in order to be health conscious. But most of these people out there still don't have this consciousness, this awareness yet.
They're hearing so many different things. You know, they're bombarded by these, you don't even need to exercise. Just take this pill and you can dance and do the tango like this couple's doing here. You know, they see these images. You know, do you really think that those people that are doing the tango dip on that commercial, ever had a problem with their weight? Ever? They're models. They're two people giving a subliminal image to the viewer that they can look like this if they use this product. I don't see any of those people dancing, number one.
You know, Don, in more than that, in this instance, though, what you have is those sugars, those synthetic sugars that are poison laid out there in an appealing an assortment that looks pleasant and you think it's going to be healthy. And what they're doing, though, the establishment is clearly doing, is they're misleading the public into, oh, you know, this is white sugar. It's bad. It's bad. Of course, it's white sugar. It's dead. It's empty. And so don't take that. Go to these, Sweet and Low, and the other one you mentioned. And so the public says, okay, the white sugar's bad, so let's go to this. And they all start going to that, just like years ago, if you remember, with butter.
Mm-hmm.
Butter all of a sudden was bad, so margarine, they had this crap called margarine, which is nothing but hydrogenated oil that's deadly. And they started promoting that butter was bad, so everybody started buying this parquet margarine, all that nonsense. And the public started to do that. And then after, within 10 years, 15, 20 years for sure, heart attacks everywhere, high cholesterol everywhere. And now I'm telling everybody, go back to butter, but just make sure it's organic. Mm-hmm. Never commercial dairy, just organic, then it's good. And it's healthy for you, unlike the margarine, which is deadly.
Now they're coming back around again, attacking butter, like this never happened, you know. Well, you mentioned, 20 years ago, you see, they figured there's a new generation, we can, just like they change styles and clothes, let's go back to the fear-mongering on the butter now.
Isn't that something? Already, they're coming back around with that one, huh?
Yeah, this past week, just a few days ago, I heard something on the radio.
And
you know, this was a news story, this was a major news story on a Clear Channel station.
My goodness.
You know, where you get the fair and balanced world news, you know.
Yes, the unbiased reports. But as far as your audience, so they know, Don, when it comes to dairy, always make sure it's organic, where the cows are literally grazing in a field of grass, in the sun, being a cow, being happy it's a cow, living its life as a cow, therefore, the milk is healthy because they're eating grass. That's what cows eat, grass. And the milk will be very healthy from that grass, as long as it's good grass, not near a three-mile island type of environment.
Now, not the real tall grass.
And so that's the key, because commercial dairy, if you ever get a chance, go to a commercial dairy farm, and you will see how the cows are in a stall 24 hours a day, with a bag feeder tied to its face, and all it does is eat and eliminate while it's standing there 24/7. And they're feeding it grains with steroids and hormones and antibiotics, and all of that's replicating into the milk. Now, mind you, the cow is not happy, getting back to being happy again, and how important that is to being healthy. The cow is not happy in a stall its whole life with a bag feeder tied to its mouth, not out in the grass, not in the sun. It's not emotionally happy, so the milk can't be good just because of that reason alone, in addition to all the synthetics that these evil corporations are forcing them to ingest as well.
Mm-hmm. On my website, Michael, it's an article that I posted back last December. At directlightproductions.com. Pus cell count in your state's milk was the article written by Robert Cohn and Dr. Joseph Mercola actually published this article originally, it was amazing how many parts per million of pus cells are in cow's milk in most of the states. I mean, it's way, way beyond what is considered or right. deemed acceptable. This is very abnormal milk.
What are they attributing to it?
What causes it, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural process that a cow goes through. The pus cells are actually the white blood cells, and they say that.
Well, here's what I'm getting at, Don. So, from what this report is stating, it seems abnormally high to see such amount of these cells present in the milk. Is that correct?
Yes, they're saying that a cup of milk can contain more than 50 million pus cells per liter. I mean, this is a phenomenal amount.
Okay, now here's the key question to this study. Did they specify whether or not their samples were organic or commercial dairy?
Oh, these are pasteurized milk. You know what?
Yes, but no. But was it from organic?
Oh, no, this is commercial.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to get to. Yes, it is.
That's the point I'm making. In some cases, it's going as high as 400 million pus cells per liter.
You see, that all confirms what we just said, how unhealthy that milk is.
Now, this is a result of infected udders, or what's called mastitis,
mm-hmm.
on the cows, mm-hmm. and they discharge mucus, bacteria, and blood.
Yeah, because of the infection.
Yes, and it's not removed. I mean, 400 million of these cells in a liter of milk.
Why would the corporations want to remove that, Don? That's cutting into the profits, buddy.
Yes, exactly. They have to produce a lot more milk, and that means lot more hormones and a lot more sheep meal.
Yep, that's right. And all that residue in there is taking up volume, which is giving it weight, and they're going to make money on that. So don't take it out.
Yes.
But you see, that's all perfect example of what we're saying, how those poor animals are so mistreated, forced to live such a way, and forced to eat stuff that's not even natural to them to eat, let alone being laced with all those synthetics. People, stay away from commercial dairy. And you will, just from doing that alone, no matter what else you do in your diet, if you do that alone, you will see within 1 week the difference, a major difference in how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are organic milk producers in many areas, and you just kind of have to check them out. You know, you've got to go through the phone book, talk to, if you know somebody who's a farmer.
Or go to your local health store, because your local organic farmers will be supplying them. And that's how you'll easily find out who they are. And even some bigger guys that are organic that have a bigger distribution, they'll be in that store too. Like, we do get some outfits from Pennsylvania around here, and when I do see theirs, Natural by Nature, I grab it every time. It's the sweetest milk.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because the cows are eating grass, and it's sweet.
Yes.
And it's very healthy, and you could drink it and feel great. Just feel great.
Now, there was a story a while back, and I can't remember if I talked about it on your show. It could have been with Randy Weitenheimer, but we were talking about this issue in the sense of the hormones that they put into the milk. And there was a girl, something like 9 or 10 years old, already growing breasts.
Yeah.
And the father was very worried about this.
Sure.
And of course, both parents were, but the father really did some research. And when he discovered organic milk, even though the doctors were miffed about what was going on, even if they knew the answer, they weren't telling him.
Right.
And they were prescribing drugs for her and everything, and he would not take, give them to his daughter. So he discovered organic milk and got her on a diet of organic milk. And in
Thank God.
One week, she already started turning around.
There you go, 1 week. There you go, thank God. And there you go with the doctors. Here, take more drugs. Take more drugs. I mean, that is so lame, so pathetic. Is that all they are today? Is a doctor today just a drug dealer pushing legal drugs? Is that all they amount to anymore? I mean, that's all you hear. Take drugs. Drugs are no good. I don't care if they're legal or illegal.
Mm-hmm. Well, not all doctors. We know Dr. Leonard Horowitz is not, and he's got his own show here on BBS Radio.
Yes, that's right.
He's been on my show recently. I've been on his.
We need more doctors like him, Don.
With Roxy Hampton, and we have been filling in for her every Sunday for the past few weeks, and he's brought up many, many of these points, as well as the issues of the vaccines and talking about fluorides in water. In fact, his research on water is phenomenal. It goes way beyond what they put in the water. And recently, Michael, I heard something, again, on the radio, you know, driving from one town to another. I heard a doctor call in to a show where a man, another caller had actually said that they're putting fluoride in the water. He said to the talk show host, you can go on the internet and read all this. There's documentation that fluoride does not prevent tooth decay. And this doctor was on there and saying, well, I'm not familiar with this study, and I don't know who this doctor is. And this guy knew nothing about what he was talking about. In fact, he was just, if knowing what we know, you would say he was just flat out lying. Although he was very good at the tone of voice that he used and making it sound like what he said made sense. It made absolutely no sense. There, explain to me, Michael, how the byproduct, the waste byproduct of the aluminum manufacturing process produces a product that stops tooth decay. Who ever, you know, how did they cope on this planet before they discovered aluminum?
Well, you know, Don, that's a perfect illustration, again, of the same set of evil characters that told everybody butter was bad and margarine was good, and then they come along and take their toxic waste product from aluminum manufacturing that was very expensive to dispose of because it's so toxic, and they tell their associates in the medical field, hey, print up some nice glowing reports of how great fluoride is for cavities and teeth. And, of course, they provide all that information, and then they have their medias sell it and print it and keep promoting it everywhere until everybody was convinced, fluoride, get fluoride. And now it's in all everybody's tap water. So every time you open up your tap and the water's just going down the sink, we're disposing of their toxic waste for them, for nothing.
Yes.
And then
poisoning ourselves and paying for the privilege on top of it.
Right. In addition, exactly, Don. In addition, you have that too. Right.
Now, I heard this Dr. Michael also make the statement that fluorides in low amounts do the job. And I thought to myself, you know, I wish I could have been on that show with this guy, but I thought to myself, what is the job? What job are you talking about? Okay? Why not mention that people that get cavities have too much acidity in their mouth, and it's harboring bacteria, and they'll eat the enamel.
That's right. And Don, and then therefore, use your basic chemistry, take some alkaline, something nice and alkaline, keep your gums and teeth bathed in it for a few minutes, and guess what? The cavity, agents of the cavities, those microbes, the plaque, are gone.
No, but some genius said, no, wait a minute, you know, I've got something better. We can take the waste product of the aluminum manufacturing process, something that we can't dump in the rivers or will kill all the plant life and all the fish. Let's put it in toothpaste and drinking water. In fact, we can let people bathe in it. We can let them use it to flush down their, you know, to flush their toilets, wash their cars, their lawns.
You know something, Don? It's so effective for tooth decay prevention because it will decay the tooth on its own, so you won't even have any teeth. You won't have to ever worry about it by steady consumption of the fluoride. It just rots your teeth.
Mm-hmm. But I heard this guy just say, in the proper amount. And the caller that had called into the show initially a day or two before, that what this is what provoked this doctor to be invited on as a guest, said flat out that there is no substantiation that this is real, number one, and the Nazis used this to pacify the people. They put the fluorides in the drinking water before and during World War II to their own people.
Yes.
And that has been established, that it makes them passive, it makes them apathetic.
Right, lethargic, yeah.
Yes, and non-responsive to certain stimuli that would enrage them in, under normal circumstances.
Well, you know, Don, in addition to what you were saying just before that, though, I want to follow up because here's another great example here in a local paper, a commie rag, Poughkeepsie Journal, which is a commie rag. Here's a nice headline. I clipped it out and saved it because I show my clients how, you know, how much of a bunch of liars they are. Fed says that studies prove mercury fillings not that harmful. It's okay, everybody. Keep taking the mercury. It's okay.
But why do they tell you not to eat certain fish because of mercury poisoning? But it's okay to have mercury in your mouth 24/7.
Yet the feds say it's okay. So, okay, the feds say it's good. But, of course, we all know whatever they say, you know the opposite is true.
Well, I'm just wondering when we can go to the store and just buy, like, these little electronic chemtrail sprayers, you know, that you plug in and you can have different scents, you know, like moth scent or a fly larva scent. Red blood corpuscles. Maybe they'll have an anthrax scent for us.
Yeah. And also, you want that nice milky gray look all around too when you spray it. So you know you get that nice icky feeling all around you.
Mm-hmm. Now I know something about a little bit about barium when it's ingested in the human body. Number one, it's probably not good in the amounts that they give it to you. Let's say if you're getting a CAT scan. Mm-hmm. Where they have you drink, like, it's like 2 quarts of the stuff. You're drinking, you know, half a gallon, and they put a radioactive substance in it, which is real good for you, too.
That's good, yeah.
And then they're going to take pictures of your brain because of all the radioactivity. Now, if you're able to keep the stuff down, what it basically does is it lines any passageway in your system, definitely in your digestive tract, but it gets into your blood system and coats everything.
Oh.
And so it will show up anomalies. Now, why would they put it in the air? Well, if you breathe it in, it's going to line your sinuses. It's going to line your lungs with that in different amounts. It's not like drinking the 2 quarts for the CAT scan. But and by the way, if you are unable to drink that because of physical injuries, they will give you a radioactive injection to facilitate that.
My gosh.
So you know they have ways to make sure that they give you those $1,500 pictures.
Yeah, that's right. That you're getting your dose.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say I don't understand why people allow themselves to allow their bodies to be put through that. There's no way anybody's injecting any garbage like that in my body temple. No way. And unfortunately, they've duped the public to the point where the people have no regard for their most ultimate private property, which is their body. And unfortunately, we're not taught that our body's really a temple. And unless we really get into our spiritual studies and learn everything that Jesus taught, because he made it very clear about that and how to treat it like a temple. so it remains a temple. But even now we get into the church failing and not teaching the people what Jesus really taught. And so it's just sad that people allow themselves to be subject to these poisons voluntarily even. It's one thing when we're involuntarily exposed to the chemtrails, but the voluntary, hey, doc, go ahead, put that in me. It's okay, doc. Give me those radiation exposures, doc. Okay. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got some other products besides the infection killer, which we talked about, and some of those are Rapid Heal, the Cancer Blaster, you have a lung formula, you have one for beautiful hair.
Yes.
A system toner, arthritis, and these really, and of course, you've got some others as well. These cross different symptoms or different conditions too within themselves. I mean, when you say infection killer, it's not necessarily what people are told is their problem. Sometimes what is diagnosed is actually an infection, right?
Oh, geez, Don, let me tell you that you mentioned that, because recently I had a client that approached me, said she had cancer, detected minor cancer appearing, and of course they wanted chemo, but she heard about me. So I set her up with the Cancer Blaster, and over a span of 2 months, my Cancer Blaster and my Dragon Juice and my herbal tea. And so after 2-3 months, she had a checkup, and she comes over, and she says, you know, Mike, I'm disappointed because they detected a little bit of growth. And I says, you're kidding. That's impossible. She says, but they did. And I said, what it look like? And tumor, polyps? She goes, no tumors, no polyps. It's a white little specks like rice. And I said, repeat this again to me. No tumors or polyps? She goes, yes. And I said, then there's no cancer. Because that's what cancer is, either in the tissue or the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what you just described is an infection. Now, these clowns want to put her through chemo again for an infection, not even for cancer.
Oh, my goodness. And then then she has all the side effects of that, not to mention, you know, that's...
Yes, exactly.
That's the beginning of the end.
Yes, it is.
There are instances where people survive, but you know, if it's usually a limited number of years.
Right.
You know, they say, well, we'll do this, and you'll survive another 10 years. Well, that's because it's going to kill you in 10 years.
It all depends on the age bracket. Seniors won't make it 10 years. Seniors will be gone within a year.
Yeah.
And I've seen people, a guy that didn't listen to me. A few years back, and he was only, he must have been only in his late 50s at the time, and they destroyed him. He trusted them, they destroyed him. And he told me at the end, he goes, Mike, I wish I listened to you. Everything you said, it happened exactly the way you said it would, and I didn't believe you. And, nonetheless, the Cancer Blaster, that's why I told that gal, I says, repeat that again. No tumors and polyps? No. I said, then my Cancer Blaster did its job, because that's what it does. There won't be any abnormal growth because it'll wipe them right out. And when it comes to that type of growth, but what she had is an infection, and that would require my infection killer to clean it right up. It was a fungus, actually. And I hope she gets back to me real soon after she gets that verified by another doctor that knows what he's looking at. And but
yeah,
sure,
that's someone I'd like to talk to on the show too. You see, we can have these people if they're willing to share.
Oh,
you know.
Oh yeah, Don.
Their experience.
Oh yeah, Don. Absolutely. There's plenty of people, like, especially with Morgellons, that would love to have a chance to inform people of their experience with how they're dealing with it, and also when they came across my infection killer and all these other formulas I have too. Sure, we could we can set all that up, and maybe you do one show where you can cover all a bunch of different clients with different illnesses that they had and used various formulas of mine, and they could all, you know, give nice testimonies of, yep, was dealing with this problem for a long time, come across this guy, within a day or two or three, I'm pretty much fine, because I really work that fast. I am a specialist. I don't waste time. My formulas go in and get the job done really quick. And like with the Rapid Heal, Don, I don't know if we mentioned this one on a previous show, but recently this past Christmas here in Western New York, I had a case with a farmer with a hernia in the groin, around 50 years old, laid up in bed in a lot of pain. Fortunately for him, I knew his sister, and so I told him, with my rapid heal, I'll have him walking in 3 days, four at the latest, and by 7 days, I'll have him working almost full strength on his farm. And sure enough, a week later, I was talking with his wife, and she says, yeah, Mike, he was out of bed in 3 days, and now he's out there working on his farm right now, which was exactly 7 days later. And she goes, now, Mike, he doesn't even have his waist support on it. And I don't like that, Mike, but there he is. He's out there working. He's raving about you, Mike. And his wife is an herbalist. She couldn't do anything. She couldn't help him in any way. She tried, of course, but she couldn't do anything. And so herbalists don't even know how I do it, but I am using strictly herbals. But I definitely know the secrets to them and the body. And that's the kind of results I get with all the formulas, and there's one for the rapid heal.
Mm-hmm.
Safe from operations.
Well, I can tell you, I've been even drinking your herbal tea. I'm drinking the dragon juice. And everyone I know that drinks the dragon juice describes the same energy sensations that I describe.
Mm-hmm.
You can work and you don't feel stressed out.
Right.
You can imagine when you're researching and you're looking for something and you can't find it and you can't find it and you can't find it. And you know it's
sure.
there somewhere.
Yes.
And so there's a tremendous amount of energy, even on a psychic level, that you burn
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
And the dragon juice just keeps you going, man. It's like it's like you just started out. An hour later, it's like you're just starting out. Every hour.
It's beautiful, Don. It's beautiful. I love to hear that. And yes, everybody says that. And also, Don, I'm going to set you up with a bunch of testimonials, nice letters from various clients with different cases, and just saying nice, beautiful stuff about the products and everything. And I'll also get that over to you, too, because people, when they see that, they'll even have more confidence, because I do not disclose the actual ingredients, because nobody has anything like this stuff. Nobody's figured out what I figured out. It is intellectual property of mine. It's proprietary. But it is 100% safe and healthy. I'm a strict vegetarian for 30 years. Nothing goes into my body temple but pure God substances derived from Mother Nature's plant kingdom. That's all I will put in my body. So you can trust that these formulas are impeccably healthy and safe. In fact, you could take any one of my whole formulas and take the whole bottle at one time and never have a negative side effect. You'll just feel really healthy for quite a long time, I mean many, many days, but never have a negative side effect, because technically these are foods for the body, very special foods for the body that the body literally loves. It will never get tired of having it. It'll just eat it up and utilize it constantly. It loves it so much.
Of course, you're not recommending that people take the whole bottle, though.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not, but I'll tell you this.
It's not toxic, though. That's the main thing.
No, you could eat. It's food, and you could take the whole bottle. But when somebody's really ill with every infection or an injury and they're laid up really bad, you do eat them like candy. And people do take at least 10 a day when it's that extreme of a situation and I got to get fast results quick. And or if it's really bad, even I say take 20 a day. So you see, you can take. And usually in the beginning, you say, wow, that's a lot. But I say, no, it's not a lot. This is food.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of it like food. It's not drugs. It's food.
Mm-hmm.
And your body needs that amount of it if you want to see how fast this can get you walking and feeling good again.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, they're always very happy and very impressed. I still am.
Well,
I thank God for it every day.
And I remind them, the listeners, that when you're happy, your body is happy, and it tends to be more healthy, and it sets up all the proper foundations for improved immunity on a natural basis. Well, Michael, we're out of time here. Before we go, I want to first of all thank you for coming on and sharing all this information again, and addressing the issue of Morgellons, and let the listening audience know that they can view your products on my website, directlightproductions.com. You go to the sponsors page. Michael's right at the top. Click on Michael Anthony's private stock, and that's not alcohol.
No, not even close.
And you know, it's a really good vodka, actually. No,
it's private stock, but only with good stuff.
Yes. And we've got a phone number there for Michael and his email. All you have to do is put your cursor, that's your little mouse arrow or hand, finger, whatever your mouse turns into when you move it, put it right over Michael's name and click on it, and it'll open up an email page, and you can contact Michael by email. And he'll set you up.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. You can contact me personally. I'd love to speak with everybody one-on-one. That's really important for me to do that so I can really fully diagnose your specific condition, situation, and know exactly what I got to do to get things back in shape for you, which is really restoration of the natural order of the body, getting back to right where we started, Don, the body's own intelligence. I call it the natural order, and I know how to get the body to get it, to reignite it very, very quickly, and that's... So it's good to talk with everybody one-on-one, and they can do that, and I spend as much time as it takes at no charge when I do that. And, Don, let me thank you again for inviting me on. It's always fun, and I'm already looking forward to the next time.
Now, you're going to be back on the 23rd of this month, which is a Wednesday, so that's roughly, 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can work something out where we get some of your clients to come on the show and give some testimonials.
That'd be great.
You know, they don't have to stay on the whole show. If we can get them to call in, mm-hmm. That would be fantastic just to hear their accounts. I definitely would like to talk to Anne about the Morgellons case.
Right.
That's very interesting, and there's a lot of new information coming out about this. Jeff Rentz has recently done a very interesting interview. I think it was around the 4th of this month, in fact. So this is a topic that's moving to the forefront in health issues. And we can talk about some of the other avenues that you and I have discussed recently. Off the air, of course. Okay.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, Don. Always fun, sir.
Thank you for being on the show, Michael. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our special guest this evening, Michael Anthony, will be back again on the 23rd of April. And we're going to continue this discussion. And you will hopefully hear some firsthand accounts of not just what these products do, but how people have overcome some very serious health problems. As well as tomorrow evening, I've got my regular Friday night guest, Jim Murray, scientist, author, inventor, lecturer, teacher, on, and we're going to continue these fantastic discussions we've had about life on other planets, life throughout the universe, curtailed technologies that are coming to the forefront now of human consciousness and are being brought forward in a way where they will soon be made available to people all over the planet. And so we'll be discussing some things along those lines. I would also like to thank Seth for doing a great job on the audio tonight, and thank Donald Newsom for making this show even possible and for what he does for BBS Radio. And those of you who are interested in Mission Possible, usually hosted by Reverend Roxy Hampton, I will be doing my final in this stretch anyway, may not be the last, but my guest hosting and co-hosting with Dr. Leonard Horowitz at 9 p.m. Pacific time this coming Sunday. And we've got some interesting topics prepared for that show. Reverend Roxy may join us as a guest on that show. So I will be with you Friday, tomorrow, as well as this coming Sunday before the week is out. So in the meantime, have a wonderful, peaceful, love and light-filled night, and a good night.